Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope you're enjoying your day, your evening, your morning, whenever you're coming to us. We appreciate that you're coming to us. And I am looking forward to today's podcast. We've got a good one. And I'm also looking forward to hanging out with my best friend, my co-host, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I'm doing all right. I had a day. What can I say?
That's what I've heard. By the way, my name is Barry Johnston. I'm your other host.
That's right. You are Barry Johnston, the smiling sensei, my oldest dear friend. You're not a dear friend. You're a person, but you know. This is the What's Your Weird Story podcast. And
so you had a hectic day, huh?
It started off. Today was going to be a day off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I needed, because I've been working hard and I've been stressing out because I got a little bit of a vacay kind of thing coming up here. And I woke up. I was going to sleep late, but I didn't get a chance to because I woke up to somebody tapping on my window.
Oh, that's nice.
Of the bedroom.
Okay.
You know, and so like, okay. So I look out there and it's these guys that I don't know. And so they're like just talking to me, but I don't know what they're saying. So I go outside, I put pants on.
Yeah.
And a shirt. I have a shirt on. I put pants on. I go outside to talk to them, and they're like, "Oh, you need to move your car because we're cutting down a tree in the backyard of the house next door."
Okay.
So the house next door doesn't really have a driveway. We have a driveway that goes from the street all the way to the back.
Okay.
And I'm right in the place that they want to be.
Okay.
Now, nobody told us, anybody here at this house.
Yeah, of course not.
That we needed to move our cars at 7 in the morning.
Of course not.
Nobody did that. So I'm obviously, I'm not a good morning person until I've had my coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I move my car and I park it on the front lawn, which I hate, but it was the only thing I could do.
Yeah.
There wasn't any place else to park it. And then I was going to go back to sleep, but I couldn't because about 20 minutes later, they start up this racket, this noise, the machine. It's not only are they cutting down this giant tree in the back with saws and everything, but they've got a chipper going.
Oh,
and the chipper, of course, is right.
Loud. Yeah.
Yes. And it's right by my window.
Oh. So.
So I can't go back to sleep, so I sit there and I grumble at myself for about half an hour trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So finally I was like, well, I'm going to go get coffee. I'm going to go get me a fancy coffee.
Yep.
You know, at McDonald's. And then I was like, oh, wait, I need to get a haircut. That's what I wanted to do today. So I'm like, okay, jump in the shower. Wash, go get my coffee, then go get my haircut.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go, and I rarely ever buy clothes, so I was like, I'm going to go get me some, I need some pants.
Nice.
So I was going to go buy me some pants. So anyway, I go get my coffee. I had to park over on the side because it took them 10 minutes to make my, iced caramel macchiato.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
It's McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a new thing to the menu.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I sat over there and waited and then went, got my hair cut. that flowed just boom, in and out, real quick, man. I got a very low maintenance haircut. It's all the same length all over.
Yep.
I get my haircut like once every 3 or 4 months, you know.
Great. So great.
I'm low maintenance like that. Man. Easy going. So then I go and I try on some pants. I go to Target, try on some pants, and you know, find me some clothes. And then I come back, and of course they're still working at it. So I come inside. And I sit down, and I'm like, it's like, well, maybe I can, you know, maybe if I can, I can pick up a shift.
Yeah.
You know, like a shorter shift, you know, since I'm not going to be able to get anything done here.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not going to be able to do this recording.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We're not going to be able to do anything. So I pick up a shift, and I go, and I get to the where I pick up all my deliveries, and I've left my wallet at home.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like, because I was going to, you know, I was going to get another cup of coffee and something to eat.
Yeah.
But you know, because I hadn't eaten yet.
Yeah.
But then I left my wallet at home. I'm like, crap. But I was like, well, I just work. So anyway, I get in, get all my boxes. I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll get my route will be that assigned to me today will be somewhere where I can just dip by the house real quick.
Yeah.
Negative.
Yeah.
And so now I'm out with, you know, half a tank of gas, out delivering, not sure, you know, if I'm going to be able to have enough gas to get home.
Right, right.
And then complicated by the fact that even if I don't have enough gas to get home, how the fuck am I going to pay for it? Because I don't have, you know, I mean, obviously I don't carry a checkbook because
yeah,
who besides, you know, the IRS takes checks?
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So I'm just, you know, on a wing and a prayer, I finish up all of my stuff. And I get home, and I've got enough gas to get home. But when I get home, the tree people who were supposed to be done were done, but their truck was parked on the street directly in front of my driveway.
Oh, my God, dude.
And so I park on the street, throw my hazards on. I get out. I'm walking around, and I'm trying to talk. You know, find who the, you know, what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, because it's you know, it's late now, and so, like, I walk around. I can't find anybody. Finally, I see this guy sitting on the front porch of the house next door, and I'm like, "What's up? What's the deal? I need. Why is this? This needs a move." And he's, you know, he's this Mexican guy. I assume he's Mexican. He's a Latin guy.
Yeah.
He's, you know, works for the tree people. He's like, and he's on the phone. And I mean, and, you know, and he's like, and he starts motioning. And I realize, okay, he doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Or at least enough that he feels confident to talk with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he goes over and he shows me this little machine that's on like a little tank tracks, and it's got an arm for tearing, you know, picking up carrying stuff, like a little vehicle, little bobcat type thing.
Yeah.
And he's like points at it, and he's like, you know, pointing inside, and I'm like, you know, like, oh, this thing's broken. It's broken halfway up the ramp. So he can't even move the truck trailer because it's halfway up, but it can't get up all the way onto the back of the trailer. And so I look at it, he's like, you know, he's trying to, you know, gesture me, and I know just tiny bit of Spanish from high school and pop culture. I'm like, Nova, because Nova, which was, you know, that the Ford Nova was a failure in Mexico and in Latin America because the name translated means no go.
Yeah.
Okay. So I knew that Nova means like no go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, Nova. And he's like, and he shook his head. I'm like,
oh my God, dude.
So anyway, so I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to drive across 4 yards to get into my yard. and stops him. I'm like, all right. He's like, you know, he's like 5 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. So I get in my car and I go to walk around the grocery store. I don't need anything.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. I'm hungry, time. Which is even worse.
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
I was able to run inside and grab my wallet. I will say that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just, yeah. So anyway, I walk around. I'm grumbly. And I'm just like, and I come back and it's still there. And I'm like, well, screw it. I'm driving across 4 yards to get into my driveway. And, you know, because I mean, like, yeah, this is all like a student housing area.
Yeah.
Most of the people in this area are students. And so they don't care about the yards. They park on the yards.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I ended up doing, to park,
wow,
to come inside, to cook something, to sit down, stuff my face as fast as I could to be here,
well,
with you today, Weirdsville.
Yeah. The links that we go through, man. Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here. And to get your mind off of that, we have a really great podcast today. We had our friend Valeria come in and she shared her life experiences with us, and we had such a good talk.
We really did. Valeria's had some really cool stories. It's a variety of stories as well, and of course, which launched us into a really great conversation about religion and the immaterial world and the universe, you know, like we do. But we started off a little bit more, well, I was going to say a little bit more down to earth, but maybe that's the wrong expression. So, Valeria, thank you for joining us here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. What's your weird story?
Thank you so much for having me. I have a couple of stories from a UFO. I have one, which is my first one, when I was a child. This is really kind of funny. I was, I think, in sixth grade, and I was at a school party, like outdoors, but it was in the school settings, and my sister was coming to pick me up. And everybody was outside, people were dancing, and all of a sudden, I noticed people just standing and looking up at the sky. So I'm like looking, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, why are they standing? And I keep like stopping and looking at all these people, and they're all like stopping and looking at the sky. And in one of those, I noticed my sister coming in, and she's like, hey, come here, you know, like, I'm coming to get you. And I was like, okay. And then she says, did you see the UFO? I'm like, what? I'm like, that's what people were looking at. And it was so funny because I'm standing there looking around at the people looking at the sky, mm-hmm. yet I didn't think of looking at the sky myself, so I missed it.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, there's been stories of that before where schools, you know, there was that one famous one in Africa where the saucer, you know, landed in the playground basically, and everybody saw it happen, all the kids and the teachers and everybody saw it happen. So that's amazing, man. I mean, it's first of all, you're in daylight. That's kind of unique.
It was evening. It was starting to
evening,
it was still light.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and my sister's like, I saw it, and I hid under the tree. So she goes, and then as soon as he left, I ran here to get you. Oh, and I'm like, gosh. And I was so mad. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't think to look up. And like, how weird is that?
Wow.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It was, you were just concerned about, you know, finding somebody to dance with, well, with somebody who wasn't looking up. That
seems like, it's like, what's wrong with these people?
Did people say how big it was or anything, or did you get any?
No one spoke about it.
Oh, wow.
At all. No one mentioned it.
Wow.
Nothing. The only person that spoke about it was my sister. I asked her later on, like, hey, did you tell mom about this? Because I have no recollection of it. And she's like, I told them, and they just were like, oh, that, like, they just kind of like said it wasn't real, or she hadn't seen it, and they denied it. And then that was the end of that story. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because that is a common thread in UFO stories. You know, people see something and then it gets poo-pooed by somebody, which is why people why people don't talk about it. You know,
that's exactly why people don't talk about it.
Yeah, because it means you especially, I think it's, I mean, it's less common now. It's, people are more open to hearing about stuff, but especially back when we were kids, when we were younger, especially, you know, if you saw UFO people, that was something else. Yeah. If you saw something, it was a plane, that was a satellite, that was a comet, that was all these other things.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know. And especially, I mean, I would say especially kids, but I don't think it's, you know, an age thing. I think people just generally used to, and still, you know, dismiss. But of course, since we've had more recent, UFO, UAP, and all of that in the news, it's the story, it's changing. The playing field is changing, so we're more open to hearing.
Yeah,
people are more open because there's so many more people who are beginning to speak about it. And mm-hmm. I feel like back then, when I was a child, when we were children, our parents, if they're scared of something, they would be like, it doesn't happen, because how else do they protect you from something? How do they protect a child from what they saw when they have no knowledge or... Right, so it's better to be like, it didn't exist, and then just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, because they don't want you to be scared. You know, that's why they're ghosts aren't real. This isn't real. That's not real. You know, and it's easier to dismiss these things than it is to like admit that we don't know what's going on. By the way, that's just not. I'm not possessed by a demon or anything. It's just this dog is.
Yeah, that's her dog.
Me.
Yeah.
He's very verbal. No, that's not what's happening here.
He's totally wild.
That's great.
All of our listening audience.
It's awesome.
So.
That's Pluto. He's just been adopted. He's 7 years old, and his family gave him away. And I took him, and he was nice and quiet at the shelter, but not at my house.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's awesome, though.
Got a lot of those. Pluto, have you seen anything that you can't explain?
He does. Okay, so as soon as they get him home, 6 o'clock, he starts barking at the wall downstairs.
Really?
Okay, he does this every single day. I have another dog, just for reference, who never does this. I had more dogs, and they kind of stare at a certain part in my house.
Wow.
But they just stare, right? And I'm like videotaping, like, can I catch something with the videotape? Because I can't see anything.
Yeah.
And I can't catch anything that I can see. But this guy's barking. So I'm like, okay, he definitely sees something.
Wow. Have you ever felt anything happen in your house or anything like that? You ever had a ghostly encounter?
Yes, I have. But okay, so first of all, here in my house, no, I haven't felt it. And it's interesting because I'm a psychic medium, and I'm an energy healer.
Okay.
So this is kind of like in my line of what I do now. But and I don't feel that this energy is malevolent. It feels like it's, you know, just here, and I haven't really connected with it, so I don't really know what it is. But be quiet, man. But I had an experience after my mom passed away. She passed away many years back, and I was very depressed because, as you know, just grieving her. And I took this trip to Italy because I was just, you know, in a good place. I was like, I'm just going to do something for myself. I went to Venice by myself, which I do not recommend going by yourself. It's the most romantic place on earth, I feel.
Yeah.
But I went there, and I took this like boat across something to this little island. There was this little white church with this white dome, and I walked in there, and I sat down, closed my eyes, and I start hearing my mother speak to me, like the voice was just like, you're talking to me, right? Like that.
Wow.
Not like in my head, not like, you know, somewhere else, but it's like right there. And I had this whole like telepathic conversation, which was amazing and cool. And of course, I'm like crying, right? Like, because like it was so emotional. But it was so powerful. I had like this full conversation, and I didn't want to open my eyes because I was like, I know if I open my eyes, I'm going to lose this connection, whatever it is. Because I didn't know what it was. It just happened. And well, then, you know, I don't remember how it ended, whether it ended, whether she said goodbye, or whether I opened my eyes, and I opened my eyes, and like I said, I was in this little Italian church, and I noticed that this, you know, tourists walking around, and they're like all staring at me because I'm just sitting there like crying and like in this, in my own space. Yeah. And I was like, wow, like it was amazing. So that was like the strongest, I guess, or the most vivid encounter I've had with someone who's crossed over.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is intense. We've talked about this before. I've had a similar experience that I can't explain. I was visited by my grandmother when she passed away, and it was very visceral. I was transported somewhere. I don't know. It was very strange. Caught me totally off guard. Scared the shit out of me. You know, because like I was sort of in a trance. I don't know. I can't explain it. And I was just honed in on something, my probably wasn't as profound as yours, but it was definitely it opened my eyes up a little bit, you know.
Did you have communication with her?
Yeah, she talked to me for about 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And I'm standing there looking at myself in the mirror, and she's just having a conversation, and I woke my wife up. It was about 2 a.m. and I had come home from work, and maybe later than that, and I go and wake her up, and I had to tell her what had just happened. I didn't know. I just had to wake her up and tell her this, you know what I mean? That I just had this thing happen. And,
how was that received?
Cool, man. My wife is awesome. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good to have that support, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't have that support, it's like, then you go back like my sister did. It's like, what do I do with this now?
Yeah. Right.
I know what I saw.
Yeah. But it was a personal experience, you know? And that gets lost in translation when you're trying to explain it, because you just can't, you know, you can't really do it justice. But that's cool, man. And being over there and being in that, like, Italy's its own vibe, and it's a really beautiful, spiritually beautiful place. That must have been pretty cool.
It was super cool. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so let's talk about your other. I want to hear your other UFO before we.
Okay, good. So this is more recent. Not this recent, but maybe 10 years ago. So I was living in Philadelphia, and I had two dogs, and not these two dogs, other two dogs. And I took them out at night for their last, you know, walk of the night. And we lived across this very small little park area. It's like right in Center City, really, like right by the art museum. It's like a lot of people. It's not like in the woods or anything.
Yeah.
And I'm walking my dogs, and there was a path that you could go through the woods, which I was not going to go there at night, but I was on the open space. And then through those woods, I see this bright light, like right inside the trees. Mm. And I'm like, okay, like what is that? Like it doesn't seem like it's up in the sky. It's like lower.
Yeah.
And it's not too low. What could it be? So I'm trying to figure this out. Can't figure it out. And then it starts moving towards me, right? Mm. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like thinking, this has to be a UFO. It didn't make any noise. It was bright. It was moving so smoothly. It was just incredible. So it's coming close, and then I'm thinking, like, yeah, this is like a UFO. And then it comes out of the trees, and it's like in the open space, like kind of like right on top. And I'm still cool about this. But then one of my dogs decides to start to bark at it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So my dog starts going barking up. And then I freaked out because I was like, okay, this is definitely not my imagination because someone else can see it.
Yeah.
And they're barking at it. Yeah. So then I went and hid under a tree.
Which is
very funny.
How far? How low was it? Can you say? I mean,
Okay, so the building I lived in had 12 stories.
Okay.
And this seemed to be maybe at 20 stories high.
Wow, that's close.
But it was just the light. Like, I didn't see, like, okay. little lights or it was just like a condensed glow of wow. light. So it came out, it stopped. My dog starts barking at it. I freak out. I run to the tree and I hide under the tree. And then it turned. It was like a 90-degree angle. So it was like it came this way, and then it made a 90-degree angle, and it went off past the building, and then I couldn't see it anymore because then the building was there. So I got my dogs. I ran upstairs, and I tell my husband this. And he starts laughing at me, of course, right? Yeah, you didn't see anything. And I'm like, no, I'm like explaining it to him. And he's just kind of like laughing, like he doesn't know what to say. So then we go to bed, and we had our apartment was like on a corner. And I see this light coming. And we're in bed now. And I'm like, there it is. And we both jump out and go to the window, and that one was a plane. And I was like, oh, that's a plane. This is really funny. And of course, that was really the part that discounted my first vision
yeah.
to him. But I was like, no, I know what I saw. And Francesca, that was my dog's name. Like, Francesca saw it. She was barking at it. It was real.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is,
what
man.
Color was the was this?
It was a glow, like amber.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was like an oval, but not too long. It was kind of like a round oval.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Come here, man.
Did you see, were there any passersby? Were there anyone else out in the streets?
No, so there was no one else wow. when I went out because it was pretty late.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, and it was winter. So it was like the trees didn't have the leaves.
Yep.
Right.
So you can see them come through, and people don't really come out that much, you know, like that late. We used
right.
to come out and try to grab this dog to come up here, but he just runs away. Anyway.
That's great.
That was pretty cool. What? And that story I have told other people because I have no shame. You know, it's like, hey, I saw it. Like, you believe it or not.
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
It's a different time now.
Yeah.
I was wondering the color because, I mean, because the phenomenon of ball lightning, of course. But that's usually, I think, a kind of a white-blue kind of color, if I recall correctly.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I don't know if you've heard of ball lightning, but that doesn't sound like it's behaved too much like ball lightning.
No, it was, and it was when it was coming towards me, it was coming kind of slow.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was like moving slowly because I had all this time to watch it to think like, what could it be? Is this like somebody with a flashlight? Like, could it be a plane or a helicopter or something? So, there's no sound, so all these things are going through my mind, and I'm watching it right, and then. When it comes out, it's like really like right on top in the empty space. It's not, wow. It's no longer in the trees or covered by anything. It was just there. But as soon as my dog started barking at it, I was like, that's it. I'm out of here.
It's another thing that's really fascinating to me about this is that you don't hear.
There's no sound. Yeah.
There's that. That's kind of par for course. But what you don't hear about seeing people in cities seeing a lot of UFOs very often. Of course, there's more like air traffic in the bigger place, with big, you know, so there you can identify or think that it's, you know, an airplane or whatever, like you did later. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear often about UFO sightings in large cities because I guess, I don't know, people aren't looking up. I don't know. It's a rare occurrence, it seems, that you hear about that in a largely populated area, which would make sense if you're coming around and you want to be a little stealthy. You want to go check out the rural populations instead of the bigger places, but who knows?
Well, it's not safe for them, right?
Yeah.
It's not safe for them anymore because, you know...
Because of people?
Because people, not regular people like us, but like people in different places who are, you know, who have more knowledge that is not being disclosed, and then they can, you know, we can go down that way.
Right? Yeah, no, for sure.
they can shoot them down, or they, right?
What do you think they are?
Extraterrestrials, mean?
Well, UFOs. What are they? Yeah.
So different things. I feel they could. It's us in the future coming back to visit us and give us some type of information. Yeah. You know, like, hey, this is what can happen if you don't do that. Like, right. Oh, this is the better path than this other one.
Yeah, you're blowing it for everyone.
That's right. Like, hey, I may not exist if you mess it up.
Right.
I also feel that it could be from different galaxies, like different planets, different places altogether.
Sure.
So I don't think it's just like one thing.
So
from one place.
Do you think that time is sort of stacked on top of itself? It's not a linear thing. It's all happening at the same time.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've kind of gravitated toward that idea. It's just, that seems, you know, more logical to me, you know?
Everything is happening at the same time. And just for reference for the human mind, for us to be able to put it together and think about it, we talk about the past and past lives and reincarnation and future us. But it's all happening right now. It's like a TV, right? So like you have a TV with like how many thousands of channels, and you put the dial on one channel and you get to see that one, and that's the reality that you're in.
Yeah.
Right? And if you switch the channel, you can watch the Western and you can be in that time, right? Or you can watch Star Wars and be in the future somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, if you're watching Star Wars, you're in a galaxy a long, long ago and far, far away. But of course, our understanding of time and as time itself is just a construct of, you know, of human, of man, of humankind. So, the dog again, it doesn't like when I'm dropping truth here, doggy. Time is a construct. So you said earlier, or well, do you have any other UFO stories before I ask this other question?
Those are my only two UFO ones.
Okay, that's fine.
That I can remember.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I have. So, do you have a case of missing time or something like that? Because I've, you know, that's one things that often people have, you know, that in connection to UFO abduction. I had a case of missing time one time. I don't know if I was abducted or anything, because I haven't had any kind of hypnotic regression, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not knowing.
You know, I don't have any lost time.
But you said that...
Again, that I can remember.
Right. You said that you're a medium?
Yes. I'm an energy healer, but I have connected with... energies across the veil.
Oh, okay.
Like the one with my mother, which I did not on purpose.
Right.
But when I started my business, when I started working with people and actually believing in my gifts, because I was, as we all have, tapped into our own abilities through our childhood, through our lives, and we just think or feel that everybody has it, or that it's regular, or it's common, so you don't think anything of it.
Right.
But then after that experience with my mom, I started having a lot of different things happen to me. Like, my friends would be like, hey, I have a headache, can you help me? And I don't know why they would say that to me, but I would say yes. And then I would like, because I remember this specifically, like I put my hand on my head and I started feeling their headache in my head. And then I would release it and then their headache would go away.
Hmm.
And then we would hang up and I would tell myself, yeah, they just said that because they're my friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So things like this happened to me a lot, where somebody would say something and it would happen, and then I would take it away from myself, like, yeah, that didn't happen, like, yeah, that's not right. And then it wasn't until I started taking a meditative course with a group of people, and they were telling me that, oh, you know, you have psychic abilities, and I would be like, okay, yeah, things, and I would believe them because I trusted them and I knew them.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one day, one of them said to me, "Come on already. We all can see what you can do. Just go ahead and do it." And it was like this kick in the butt. And I was like, okay. So I put on Facebook, I put on a group that I was not a member of that group, but you could post for other things. And I posted like, "Hey, I'm doing these healings for free in order for a testimonial in exchange." And so my calendar filled up. Like, I had like 30 people in 1 month.
Oh my.
Wow.
And I was meeting all these strangers, and I was doing some type of healing, like the one with the headache. And I would have like all of this really great feedback. And that's when I actually believed it, because I was like, okay, these people don't know me. These are strangers. Why would they say that? Why would they come to me? So that's when I actually started paying attention to it. But getting back to the mediumship, I think it was like the fourth or fifth person that I was practicing with. I was doing the session, and then all of a sudden this helicopter comes over my house, and I never have helicopters over my house, and it's like right on top. And I was really annoyed because I was like, I can't concentrate, I can't think about it, like I'm waiting for this helicopter to leave so that I could continue the healing session that she had come for me. And it was not leaving, it was just there. I was so annoyed. And then in that space, I had this thought, and I was like, and I said to her, "I don't know if this is going to resonate with you, but are you open to something different than just the healing?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "Do you know, or do you have anyone who has crossed over who was in the military?" I don't know why I said that, but I thought military because it was a helicopter. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh, my father was."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I was like, "I think this is your father coming through." As soon as that happened, as soon as I said that, the helicopter left.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's how I was like, oh, okay. Now I'm getting messages for this, that, like, but it wasn't like I saw them or I heard them. It was more of like this intuitive knowing of saying something that resonated with the person that made no sense to me.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was like that.
So that was kind of, you had never kind of done that before. Is that safe to say until that moment? And you're like, I just got to say this. And then it's now all of a sudden you opened another door, you know, to an ability that you didn't know you had.
It's just that I wasn't embracing it or allowing it or believing it or trusting it or whatever you want to put in there.
Right.
But like with a stranger, right? Like that I'm there, I just say what comes into my head and it resonates with the person. I have no idea about anything with this person. So anyway, I delivered a message for her and it was really healing for her. Then I had another one with somebody else where all of a sudden her dog started barking. And I said, your dog has a message. Your dog is like your spirit guide or like your guide here on earth. And she said, I've always felt that. And then the dog stopped barking.
Wow.
Wow.
So like the kind of like the same thing. Like, yeah. You know, like, and so like, that's kind of like how I started. I don't really do it as a, like I'm a psychic medium and I'm going to connect with you. I do it more as like, if it just happens, it happens. I'm not connecting on purpose.
Right.
It's just happening. But when I was about 12 or 13, I was staying at a house with some friends and it was kind of like their dining room was kind of dark. It didn't have windows. The window was on the other room on both ends. And I remember I was getting something and I looked towards the end of the room and I saw a figure, and this was like a short, stubby figure. And I knew it was a ghost. I knew it was a spirit. And my mind went to, oh, somebody passed away. Who could it be? And I started going into my thinking, which thinking is three-dimensional, right? It's like it's us. It's not
right.
connecting to the higher realms. And I started thinking, like, who could it be? And I was like, oh, it has to be my grandfather. My grandfather is about that height and about that stature. So I had to wait for my family, my parents, my father to come home to ask him, hey, have you heard from grandpa? Like, I didn't say anything. And it took them like 4 or 5 days to call him. And I'm like, can you call grandpa? Like, you know, like what's going on? And, you know, he was fine. And I had this in my head, like, I could have sworn it was him. Like who could it be? And then I just let it go. Like, I was wrong. I didn't see anything. It didn't happen, right? But it was bothering me. And about 3 weeks later, my mother gets a letter from Chile, because that's where I grew up.
Okay.
And the letter was talking about her best friend who had passed over. And she looked like that. That is she fit that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, that's who it was.
Wow.
So then I got my confirmation and I was like, oh, okay, so it was.
But wow.
It was like I knew it was something or someone. I just knew it.
Yeah.
But then, see, what happens is when we receive this intuitive hits or this sightings or knowings, we're connected to a different realm. We're like not thinking. We're allowing the messages to come through because we're not getting in the way, right? But as soon as you start getting in the way, then you stop that flow.
Right.
And then you can't. Yeah. Right? So sure. It's kind of like, you know, when like you perceive something out of the corner of your eye and then you look and it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're perceiving something because you're connecting to that other part of you. But then as soon as you bring yourself back to 3D, like, oh, let me think who this could be or let me figure it out. And that's all brain. That's all, you know, your body, your mind. You are disconnecting from the other part of you, which is your higher self and the higher realms. So
wow,
that's interesting. It's almost like, I guess, because you, it's almost like you're paying attention to it, or you're putting like intent or focus on it, then it's like, you know, that's when it, you drop the call, I guess, you know.
It's because you're paying attention, but it's because you're paying attention with your three-dimensional thinking mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a channel.
Right.
Yeah. That's why it drops.
Interesting.
That must be a heavy, like, burden to carry when you get that sort of vision, you know, that is, you know, it's pretty heavy and then to try to express that in any way is, that's got to be... Because you don't want to say too much, you know, because you might hurt someone or, you know, it gets ill received in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just kind of like, well, why was I given the you know, that would be difficult. I don't know that I'm equipped for that. That would be.
I have been told this as well. And I have been this way since I was a child. I have this gift of neutrality, which is I can see things from either side and not get involved or heated up in whichever's opinion it is.
Right.
Right. And so I'm able to see it without feeling like that's something bad or like I don't have a judgment on what's happening. We had my cat right before we came to the States. We had a cat and she was this beautiful blonde Persian cat. And right before we moved, she disappeared. And she was an outside cat, but she would like go places and we would just go outside and call her and she would come running with her tail up in the air. It was amazing. And then one day she just stopped coming and we were calling her for several days. And I remember it was like several days after I went to my backyard and I was playing by like some tree trunks or whatever, and because I was higher, I saw this fur, and it was right by the neighbor's fence in the back, and that neighbor had these big dogs, and I saw it, and I instantly knew, oh, that's her, and she's crossed over. Like, I knew.
Yeah.
instantly. And I was like, I don't know, 10, 11. And I had to go tell my mom, right? And as I'm walking to tell my mom, I'm thinking, how would someone behave if they just found their dead cat? I have to get upset. So I remember that I purposely made myself look upset because I wasn't upset.
Wow.
I was like, oh, there it is, you know.
Right. Totally, yeah. Accepting of it. Right.
And I made myself look like I was upset when I told her because I was thinking, that's what's expected of me. I should have some feeling, right?
Yep.
But I didn't. And I feel that I didn't because I know, and I always have known, that we don't die. Like, that's not where life ends. That's where the human experience, life ends. I didn't know it in these words, of course.
Right.
But I've always known that it continues on. And so to me, it's like, oh, like, they've left their body. Like, they changed their clothes, but they're still here.
Yeah.
So it had that feeling. I have lost, like I told you, my mother, and I was very depressed. And so I have felt that when it comes to like someone who's really close to me.
Yeah.
But with other things, I am able to see it like that. And I felt that way. And I remember telling my mother in that way, like I was making myself cry, but I didn't feel like actually crying. And sad. And then we watch her, you know, my siblings and I, and my mom went to the back together. She picked it up. It was stiff. It was this thing, like, bend the legs. And I remember looking at it like, wow, that's so weird how it looks. Like, that's not the cat. Like, I knew it wasn't the cat. I knew it was just, but it was so weird to see it like that. And again, I had like no sadness or negative feeling towards it. And then my mother said, oh, she probably knew we were leaving, and she took away that part of the heaviness of like, what are we going to do with the cat once we leave?
Wow. Right.
So she came up.
Now, did your mother have any abilities?
Right where I was going. So,
I know she did, but she didn't never speak about it. She didn't speak about it. Was not something that, you know.
Did you grow up in the Catholic Church by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hate to assume, but I was just kind of assuming that. Where does that fit in to your thought process and your belief? Is it still a part of that in a way? Did it help, like, direct you in a way? Or was it the opposite of that?
Well, I believe having a foundation from some type of religion or place really does help us, because it teaches us to look for something or to believe in something other than us, right?
In
that part. And a lot of the teachings are good, like be good, don't steal, like all that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And because of that, I also like familiar with all the angels, and I'm an angels person, so I'm always working with the angels. And if I didn't have that background, like I have a client right now, and she grew up without any type of religious background, and it's more difficult for her to connect with like, what's this angel, or what is an angel, or what do they do, right? So I think it really does help me. However, I also knew from a young age that the teachings were not all aligned with what I was feeling.
Right.
Like, I remember going to church one Sunday, and it was packed, like people were standing. It was always packed like that. And there was this lady who had a baby who's crying, and then the priest kicked her out. Very shameful.
Right.
Because the baby was crying. I mean, this is a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Things were different.
They were different. It was like, you can't take care of this kid, and you're, you know, messing up our sermon or something. I remember feeling ashamed for her.
Oh, yeah.
And also feeling like, that's not the teachings.
Yeah.
How can you kick her out? Like, that's not what you're teaching. So I remember having that feeling. But, of course, there's, like, no one you can talk to because, you know, you just speak out.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, of course.
You get punished.
And that's just like a man, isn't it? To, you know, kick out the woman with the crying baby and not trying to help her, just let it happen and let it, you know, do its thing. Just kick him out, man.
Right. But I mean, there's so many people who are still in that space of like, yeah. This, you know, this is how children should behave, right? This is what we should do. But I had that awareness as a child that it wasn't right. When I lost my mother, I was also going through a divorce, and growing up Catholic is, you know, till death does you part.
Right.
It was very ingrained in me, and I was really hurting. So I was like, what am I going to do? And when I went on the same trip to Italy, this is another miracle that happened to me. I walked up the Spanish Steps in Rome. There was this church up there, and I walked into the church, and there was a wedding going on. So I went into a little niche, you know, in the back, like waiting it out. And I find this priest sitting there, and the priest was from Spain, so he spoke Spanish. So, I mean, like, the synchronicities, right?
Yes,
and so I see him, and I tell him my whole story of what's going on with my then-husband. And he hears the whole thing, and he says, you need to go home and get this marriage annulled. For whatever reasons, he, you know, after hearing my story, like, he said that this was something that I could do.
Yeah.
I had never heard of that word. Mm-hmm. No, that was a possibility. And it completely shattered my belief in the religion because I had grown up with, like, till death does you part. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Now here's a priest in Italy telling me to do this. And then I came home and I did that, and it worked just like he said. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, how are you teaching me one thing forever and then the same establishment tells me, hey, but you can do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the workaround, isn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, divorce is bad, but annulment, well, there's a reasons or whatever, you know. But, I mean, divorce, it's the same thing. It's the same process. It's voiding the marriage, you know. And, yeah, it's...
It's the textbook's book way of how we're supposed to do thing, and then there's the reality. The reality is that people don't stay, especially in this day and age, they don't stay married forever. And if you don't give people a way out, then what are you doing? You know, but that, I think that's, you know, it's funny because not funny, but it's interesting that, you know, we grew up very religious, very, very staunch, you know, conservative region of the country. And you were expected to do the thing like just like everybody else does. And, there's good parts to that for sure. But when you start seeing the hypocrisy, because we lived in such a small town, we're in everybody's back pockets. Mm-hmm. So your perception starts to change a little bit as you start to see the sausage being made. It's not what it's all cracked up to be, but I think there's good stuff in there. I do think there's good things in there. There's good ideas in there, but then, you know, people get a hold of religion and then it just goes to shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said the worst thing about religion is that it puts people between you and, you know, God, whatever your interpretation, whatever your God is to you. And, you know, because, and it's got all these people that are in between saying, well, I know that this is what God wants. I know what this is, how, you know, I know the mind of God, where, you know, as a human being, nobody can know the mind of, you know, a supreme being that's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-everything, you know. So you can't know what's what. You can just, I mean...
You can speculate. You can speculate.
You can speculate, but you can't, yeah. But so, I don't know. Again, that's back to, like...
Well,
sausage being made and all of that. So, I don't know, that's a whole other discussion.
I feel that religion has had its course, a purpose to give people a place to be. But from today's point of view, and from the way that we are ascending and moving forward in finding ourselves, religion, I feel it does more separation than unity. Right, because we're all one. We're all connected. There's no one religion is better than the other. It's one God.
Yeah, right.
Globally, right? No matter what religion you choose, it's the same God. And you go to any religion and you study it, you have all the similarities and you have all the same rules, like, you know, be good, be kind, right? All these things, they're all over. And when people, the humans, begin to say this religion is the one or is better than the other, what we're doing really is separating ourselves. When really, we're brothers and sisters, we're all together, you know? It's like, hey, you know, like, what's important here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's unfortunately what happens when the message gets pushed to the side and it's more about the kind of tribalism. It's more about it's us versus them. And as humankind, we humans love us versus them. We want our group and our group alone. We don't really care too much about with these other groups. We don't want to have to, you know, it's our way or no way. And you know, I mean, that's, again, that's from a holdover from when we lived in smaller villages, when you sometimes needed to have that, keep it to your community close and together for support and protection and for, you know, all of your needs. And that, you know, you could be a competing smaller community would come to try to take your resources or something.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and now it's like,
yeah, now we're a world community.
We don't need that kind of,
yeah,
we don't, we're a world community. We're all over. We don't need, we can celebrate our cultures and the things that we've come up from, but we also need to be able to accept other people's beliefs and cultures and practices and being, you know, not necessarily, you know, you don't have to do them, but you can be like, okay, well, that's how they do things and that's their way. And as long as nobody's getting hurt and everybody is of age and consenting, then it's fine.
So. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I feel that, I forgot what I was going to say. So you should go ahead. You were saying something.
I was just going to ask you, are you working with people like on a daily basis? Is that type of a thing that you're doing? And are, you know, like say somebody comes to you, how long does it take for you to get them the healing that they need, the thing that they need? Does it vary from person to person or is there a process?
It definitely does. I mean, when I first started, I was just doing like single sessions. People would just come for one session, you know?
Yeah.
And the healing would happen, right? But it was mostly physical pain, some type of physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about like chronic stuff.
Right.
Because some of the people have come with chronic things and they have felt great and then it has come back. So it's almost like a chiropractic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back. But it doesn't have to be that way. But what I do now is I help people connect to their own divinity, to their own gifts. That's what most of my work is about.
Okay.
That. So what I do is I help them remember who they are. I help them connect to their own intuitive gifts, whatever they're carrying in, and give them that space to be able to give them the trust and the confirmation that it is. Because it took me over 20 years to trust my own.
Right.
Right. I was going to ask how you developed, you know, your practice, how you were able to, like, cultivate to what you are doing now.
So it started with that one girl giving me that kick in the pants and say, hey, we've been telling you this forever and you just don't believe it. Just go ahead and do it. And that's when I did. And I started just giving it for free, you know, like, come here and tell me what you're feeling. And then that confirmation, which in turn made me realize that, oh, actually something is happening, right? Like, and that's just how I started. And then I started moving into that and people coming to me, word of mouth mostly, to work with me. And then I changed a lot. Like I was like, what am I? Am I this? Am I that? Like trying to And then it turned out like every time people would come, they would say, I want this type of session. And something else would happen in the session because that's the way it was led. And I was like, okay, I just have a blanket. Whatever you need is what will happen because I don't have any control of it. But when people who work with me longer term, it's to heal deep wounds like childhood trauma.
Right.
Because what happens is when we heal these parts of us that we carry or we stuff in parts of our bodies, like, because we don't want to deal with it, when we remove that, we bring them to the light, then you have more space. And the space we put in our bodies, in our physical bodies, is more light. And when you have more light within your body, then you organically tune into your own intuitive gifts and your own things. And then I'm there to give you that yes, that's actually happening. And yes, that is what you did, right? Because I can see it. And so I give information that helps them trust in themselves, which is different. So like what I tell everybody is like, I give you all the tools that I have learned through the years and that I have learned through my own experience so that you can take the ones that resonate with you and run with them, and so that you don't need me. Because for me, it's like the more people I help become aware of who they are and what they're able to do, the better the world becomes.
That's right? Awesome.
I don't have access to everybody, right?
Yeah.
So if I see somebody there and they have their own little group or large group of people, then amazing, right?
Yeah. Mentoring and teaching is like maybe the most important thing you can do in your life. And it doesn't have to be a grand scale thing. You know, it could be just, you know, mentoring someone, you know, to help them get somewhere, to help them try to avoid the things that you didn't. You know, that's important. And I don't think I realized that when I was younger. I think most young people are pretty self-absorbed. And until you get out into the world and start paying your own bills and seeing how the world really works, and that the only currency you really have is yourself and your relationships with people, because, you know, that's the only meaningful part of life, I think, is having those relationships with people that you call your family, that can help you in the tough times, make you see things differently maybe than the way that you're viewing them. And, you know, a person like yourself that's helping somebody figure out what they're doing and pointing them in a direction and giving them the positive feedback and sending them on their way, that's like the most healthy thing you can do.
Thank you. And I was a teacher. Like I studied to be a teacher.
Oh, nice.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Nice. Well, you were on the path. You were there on the path, and it's just that's where you found yourself. Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny because I was an art teacher for about 15 years.
Okay.
And I taught elementary school, and the system just, it's not going in the right direction. It's like they're taking away all the arts, all the music,
which is
creativity, imagination, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I remember my last year before I left, I started teaching my eighth graders how to meditate. And I don't know why I decided to do that, but I was like, this is going to help them. Because I taught in a place that was, 98%, free lunches. It was a tough neighborhood.
Right.
Well, I was like, I'm going to do this with all my eighth graders, or, you know, and so the last 10 minutes of class, and I only have 45 minutes, I was like, I'm going to teach them. And I did. And that was the year that COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, and I knew it. I was like, that year, I was like, I have to teach this to them. You know, I don't know why. I just do. And I started doing it. Like, nobody bothered me. Like, what are you doing in your classroom? You know, and it really brought a lot of kids peace. Some of them were like, oh, I love your class. You know, like, I loved it last 10 minutes. And like they really learned how to do it. And I just had this knowing, like, this is going to help these kids. This is going to help them somehow. And then COVID hit. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I felt like doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, that was such a dark place for kids, you know, who are isolated and had nothing to do.
Awful. Like,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. You know,
that really is.
Yeah. There's, you gave him a gift, you know? So,
Meditation is good for everyone, but definitely for artists, because, you know, I mean, I'm an artist, and Barry's he's a musician, you know, so we're both arty people. Arts. Yep. And awesome. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, it meditation is good for creative people because it gives you that, it can give you that kind of centering and separation from the overwhelming everything outside, to give you that kind of that focus to get, so you can step into the flow state, you know, and creativity.
You know that, right?
What's that?
The flow state that you're talking about, that's channeling.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
Yeah, and a lot of people are afraid of that word, channeling, you know, because they think of somebody being possessed or talking, or like somebody like Esther Hicks or something. And we're channeling all the time. You know, if you're like really good at cooking and you're like into that space, like you just create your cakes without a recipe. If you're doing music, if you're writing, if you're creating, you're channeling that stuff. Yeah. You know, when you're just in that flow, or like in the sports, right? Like you see, like
You're definitely. Yeah, that makes sense. You're definitely tapping into something bigger.
Yeah,
and you're not thinking, and often you're not, you're doing that thing where you're not thinking about it. You're just in that moment, in that flow. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense that you're not, like you said, not channeling the spirit or anything or person particularly, but just tapping into the bigger universe with through the act of creation and being creative. And so I like that. That's really cool.
Awareness.
I'm bringing you some awareness. So it's like, because now that you're aware of that, like you're going to be open to more, right? So when you're creating your art, now that you're aware, you're going to be like, oh, wait a second. Like I'm really like connecting to something bigger, and you're going to be open, and this is going to open up different venues for you to channel and to connect to higher, different parts of you, like your higher self, the divine, whatever it is that it's there for you.
That's awesome. Have you written any books at all?
I wrote a chapter in a book.
Okay.
it was called The Voyage and the Return, A Path of Self-Discovery, where I tell my story about how I started doing what I started doing. And that came out about 2 or 3 years ago. And I also wrote a children's book.
Cool.
It's called Francesca and the Avocado, and it's based on my dog Francesca, who's now crossed over.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is really cool.
That one's not spiritual. But yeah, I it's interesting that you said that, because the message keeps coming that there needs to be something more written about my story to tell.
Yeah.
Not just a chapter, but like a full story. And I have started 2 other books. and I only have like maybe 1,000 words for each, but the idea is there. And I keep getting like, this needs to happen.
Yeah.
This needs to happen. Thank you for that confirmation.
Yeah, you know, well, writing a book is no simple task, at least for me. Not that I've ever sat down to write a book, but I've tried to put my thoughts into a form. It's hard. That is a muscle that you have to really seek and continue to cultivate, just like anything else, art, whatever. You know, writing and putting your words down in a way that people can absorb them and understand is like, that's a talent, you know, and that's not an easy undertaking, at least not for me. So.
Well, we all have our own gifts in different parts, right? So if you're a musician, or if you're an artist, or that's where you're focusing mostly. So that's a different part of the brain that's working.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you, if you want to write a book, because it feels like you do. just get into the flow of not thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's thinking that's stopping it, right? So I'll tell you a little story. This is when I was in college. I used to go to sleep. I would put my head down, ready to go to sleep, and I would start getting these sentences, right? Like it was like a poem. And I was like, oh, that's really good. I should write that. So I would get up, turn the light on, gone.
Yep.
What was that? I couldn't remember. So then I was like, okay, whatever. So then I would turn the light off, put my head down on the pillow. It would come back. I was like, oh, there it is. Okay, that's the sentence. Let me write it down. Get up, turn the light off, gone. Right? So this would happen. So then it dawned on me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep a book and a pen next to my bed, and I'm not going to turn the light on. So I started doing that. So I would get this notebook and I would like hold my finger like I'm writing and move my finger down so I wouldn't write on top of it.
Yeah.
And I got it. I caught it because what happens when you're about to fall asleep or when you're just waking up, you're in between realms.
Yeah.
So you're receiving from higher energies. And that's why the creativity is there, right?
Yeah.
When you wake up, you turn the light on, you're back into the thinking world.
Right.
You're off again.
Yeah.
So I started doing that and I will write these poems that I thought were good. I don't know. I don't have any of them now. But that used to happen. So if you want to write, it feels like doing it like early in the morning, like before anybody wakes up, or like right before you go to sleep, turn the lights off, maybe put your screen really, really low. I've done writing on my screen with the screen completely off, like typing, but that's not good because sometimes you hit something and then it stops and then you're writing and nothing's going on to your documents.
Right.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
And the other tip I can give you is to put some type of meditative music that you like, that resonates with you on your headphones so that you're in this bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And just let it flow.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I am so tuned into music and tones. My brain will latch on to, I can't, for me to sit and, some people can just fucking put fucking Metallica on and sit and write. I can't do that because I'm so, I'll get lost in the music. And then I'm like, I don't know what, you know. So, but maybe that atmospheric thing is the way I need to go. That's a good point. I need to do that.
Or maybe you need something that is not tonal. You need something. Maybe you need
like binary beats.
That is not, you know, something like that. You're going to focus on something that you can.
Yeah.
Put
yeah.
To
yeah.
That. So something yeah, yeah, like yeah. that you can listen to, but you're not going to get engaged with. So like maybe like a genre that you don't really care for, but you know you can put that in the back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like mall elevator Christmas music or something like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I want to listen to the sound of Mars.
Call like the phone company or somebody who's going to put you on hold for a long time.
Yeah.
And just let that thing play over and over and over again.
While oh, right that there, drives yeah. me crazy, man.
Your language is music. So why are you, like, you're writing music and that's writing music.
Yeah.
So if you have a story, like, you want to speak it, maybe you need to just speak it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just talking.
And well, and we also have thousands of hours of us talking, so I'm sure there's a manuscript out there somewhere.
Look, Barry, I know that you wrote one book in high school when you made up a book for a book report.
I did, yeah, I did.
And had to make
it was the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. And he got an A.
I did. I had knocked it out of the park. And I thought for sure I was going to get caught because supposedly she had read all the books in the library, knew all, you know what I mean? It's like, here's this book. I don't know how I did it. But yeah, I don't come to me for reading, that's for sure. Oh, that's great, man. Well, how can people get in touch with you? Do you want people to get in touch with you? Do you have social media presence?
I have Instagram, I have Facebook, I have TikTok,
okay.
I have a website.
Okay.
So my website is Healing Through You.
Okay.
And that is pretty much the name for everything else too, Healing Through You.
Great.
And that came to me too, because as a healer, like I am not the healer, right? Like the energy comes through me and it works through you and then you work through your own healing. So, so that's what it is.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for coming and hanging out, and we had a great conversation.
Thank you. This is so much fun. Thank you so much.
This has been a lot of fun. We do appreciate you stopping by. Get this. We call it What's Your Weird Story, right? But we don't limit it to weird stories. It's true. Sometimes we have crazy travel and epic adventure stories. Sometimes we do book reports and other special episodes. Sometimes we'll cover some weird news. Sometimes I'll see one of my oldest, dearest friends just dancing around and punching the air for 5 minutes before we sit down and record an episode. But hey, it's all good because it's fun to talk to people, to make new friends, to get in touch and reacquainted with old friends and hear amazing stories.
Valeria, thank you for coming on and sharing your life story with us, and just so interesting. Yeah, we love to talk about UFOs. We got a couple of those stories. We got to meet her dog, Plato. That was fantastic.
Yes, Plato, and thank you for joining us as well.
Great. It's great. We had a great conversation.
Yeah, I felt that need to point out that I wasn't speaking in kind of some kind of demonic tongues or something, that it was, the puppy dog trying to share his own stories. And, you know, hey, we are willing to hear your animal's stories. We may not be able to understand them, but if you can translate, that's totally cool. We love all kinds of stories, but Valeria's stories were really awesome, man. It's just hilarious, that whole, you know, everybody saw the UFO but her. She just stood and looked at all the people staring up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was great.
It reminds me of a character from Doctor Who, her name is Donna Noble. She, like, anytime there's been, like, you know, aliens come to invade Earth or anything that's happened majorly. She's like completely oblivious to this thing that the entire world is observing. But like, you know, she's like, you know, busy doing something else, like, you know, trying to find lip gloss in her purse or something. I can't remember exactly, but it's just that thing. It's like, it's just hilarious that, you know, she noticed all the people, but she didn't think, she was more curious as to what they were doing, not why.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, we had a great conversation, man. We kind of covered everything. You know, we talked about religion and meditation and her work with people, you know, that she does, that she helps heal folks, and that's a great a great thing. Again, she's got a children's book out there. You guys need to look for that, Francesca and the Avocado. If you guys could find that, that'd be great. Help support her. And we want to support you. You need to come onto our podcast. You need to tell us your story, your life story. We know you've got at least one good story. I mean, we've made six plus years out of people's stories. So please come on and check it out. Check us out.
Do indeed. Listen to us every week. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your general acquaintances, tell that guy at the gym who, you know, makes you feel kind of weird. You don't know why he's looking at you that way. Could be good, could be bad. But, you know, tell that guy. Maybe that'll put him in the right place. Maybe he can figure it out. Maybe he's got a story.
Yeah, maybe he just saw a UFO. You never know.
Yeah. Maybe he sees angels dancing around your head. Who knows? you know, it's a weird world.
It is, indeed.
It's a wonderful world. It's an amazing world full of amazing people and amazing stories and amazing experiences. And we want to hear them all on the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Yes, we do. Please reach out.
Yep. Get all this on our Instagram, Facebook, and Gmail, which is WYWSPOD@gmail.com. And, you know, just, you know, join Weirdsville. Take one step closer to permanent residence here in these wonderful acres and acres of curiosity and wonder and amazement and imagination. Not so much imagination, except for it's an imaginary place. But, you know, the stories are real, inhabiting an imaginary place. Whoa. It's kind of deep.
I love it.
I'm gonna ponder that for a while, and until we meet again, Weirdsville, be safe.
be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.